repent, we open ourselves up to the opportunities to live in to all we are called to be and do. Happy anniversary, MCC Tampa. Lent is an opportunity for change, for excitement, for surprises. Due to a personal circumstance in my family, I had to make a change in Fort Myers, and I thought, what better an opportunity than to catch you off guard, than to join you on this day, our 10th anniversary together. As we step into and continue our journey in the season of Lent. Lent, an opportunity for, how many of you like go to a doctor on an annual basis? Why do you do that? A checkup, right? A physical assessment of how you're doing. So how are you doing? If you take that analogy and lay it over Lent, it is the same invitation for us to go and have a spiritual physical. You ever think about that? Like, where are you in your spiritual journey, and what has God called you to do and be, and are you in alignment with that, and how would you know? How would you know? What? By knowing? How you feel? Happiness? By asking? Who do you ask? Talk to God? Do you think any of us could give each other a reflection of spiritual groundedness? And sometimes we don't even have to ask. Well, that's just for another sermon. Lent, an opportunity for us to look at our relationship with God, to look at the connection to the holy, to see where we are in our daily practice, our discipleship, our spiritual journey, and to make assessment around that. In many church traditions, there is a ritual practice of Lent. In other church traditions, they don't know it in any other way than what comes from the dryer. It's just a difference in information, right? The churches that have a much higher liturgy practice the season of Lent in the annual church calendar. Protestant churches, especially those further on the conservative, shall we say, well, we could say a lot, but I would say like the Baptists and the Pentecostals and those folks have a different understanding of how you are in tune with your spiritual journey. As we move through the season of Lent, we've offered some adjectives. The first week was temptation. Have you ever found yourself in a place of temptation? Transformation. Seeing yourself in a new way. Being touched by the holy that opens yourself up. And this week we're looking at tenacity. If you watch the film, The Odd Life of Timothy Green, there's a lot of tenacity in that film. If you look at the scripture that is before us, there is tenacity from the gardener. Why do we do church? For the fellowship, to feed ourselves, to heal ourselves, to be with God. How are we with God in this place? Are we with God as we are experiencing God through each other? That would be yes. Good. Okay. Just checking in. We take our hopes and dreams, just like what happened in the movie where these parents find out that they're infertile and they come home and they, in their grief and in their sadness, find some ways to move through that. And they take a little notepad and they write what their child would be, perfect in every way, and they write down every single one of those moments. Even the moment where this kid kicks the field goal, they get right into that by cheering him on. All right. They take all those pieces of paper and they put them in a box, and in their deep grief, they go out in the garden and they bury that box. And I wonder what we do here at church. What do we do with our hopes and dreams for what we need church to be, for what church is, for what it could become? Do we take it and write it in our minds and put it in a little box and bury it in the hopes that something will grow it? A movie reviewer, Paul Essay, writes, "We put beauty in boxes, our treasures in chests. Into these vessels we pour pictures and letters, jewels, toys, and I would add beliefs and rituals. We set them aside as precious to us, making sure they are safe and secure. If what we store is valuable enough, we shut the lid, lock it tight, and bury our items in basements, attics, or crawl spaces. As if whatever is inside might get lost or damaged or inexplicably vanish. But boxes can't hold everything precious. They can't keep everything safe. For a very long time, the Christian church has kept things in pretty little boxes. We were fashioned and formed in those boxes while the world around us changed. In a book that I've been reading titled The Turnaround Church by Mary Louise Gifford, there's a quote in it that captured me by Thomas Long that says, "Once upon a time, church bells rang out to summon the whole village. But we no longer live in that village. We live instead in a fragmented, diverse society in which a cacophony of bells clangs for our attention." What clangs for your attention? Jim and Cindy wanted a child. They tried everything. Have you ever been in a place where you've tried everything to make something work? They tried everything but to no avail, and when they definitely heard from their doctor that conceiving a child would be impossible, they grieved the loss. They grieved that loss. Have you ever been in a place where you've grieved loss? I would suggest that the very notion of having an MCC in the very beginning of birthing this movement, there was grief and loss we failed to notice. And that grief and loss has journeyed with us this 45 years. The grief and loss of being exiled from that religious community we might have loved, that fashioned and formed us. that grief and loss that gets tangled and mixed up in our own desires to live in to this thing we call church. That grief and loss that stir us to try and create that which we had. Scripture today tells us about a parable, about a community of people challenged by the religious systems. Jesus saying to them, unless you repent, you too will perish. What does that mean for us? I looked at the attendance for MCC Tampa, my first Sunday worshiping with you in March of 2003. It was 145. Our membership was 124. A wide open opportunity stood before us. And we had successes along the way. But I remember in the movie, as the parents were sitting in front of the adoption counselor and trying to explain this child that had come into their lives, trying to explain how, well, they'd done the best they could and they were a good parent and they made mistakes. And the counselor looked at them and said, can you tell me more about that? And she said, well, we learned a lot and we know we made mistakes and we want another opportunity to make different mistakes. How are we gracious with our mistakes, and how do we see them as opportunities to learn and stretch and grow and to be all God has called us to be? Remember last week when we had to boil our water? One of the things that caught my attention by that story was this little line where it said, 560,000 residents in the Tampa Bay area must boil their water. And I was struck by that number, 560,000. Okay, so 506, what's 10% of 560,000? 56,000. Okay, so let's just say that of that 56,000, because they say we're 10% of the population. Okay, so let's just say that 10% of that 56,000 is a possible target margin for us to reach out and share the good news, because I believe that's one of the reasons why we are called to do church. So that would be how many? 5,600. Oh, but you know what? Our lens is too narrow. Because while we're focusing on 5,600, there is a whole great, big, giant community of hearts and lives in alliance with us. Why isn't this good news for them? Why is our target audience who we started out to be and not greater than who we are today? What would happen in our church if we reached out to our friends, not just our gay friends, hello, and said to them, I go to this great church where the good news of God's unconditional love is preached and lived and offered, and I want to invite you into that good news. Would you like to come to church with me? It happens for some folks, amen. What happens for us when we imagine what is possible for our church, for the good news we have to offer, for this great work we are called to be and do. One of my favorite liturgists is Joyce Rupp. She writes, "You wonder why you take those daily steps, pushing to get your work done, to conform to a schedule beyond accomplishment. You wonder when you end each day with the discomfort of not making the mark, leaving much undone, unsaid, unloved, unresolved. You wonder how you could miss those moments of friendship, those invitations to compassion, those connections to a world not of your own making. You wonder if you could live life differently, more in tune with your true self, more in step with your deepest desires, more in love with cosmic beauty, more in sync with the world's desolate loss. You wonder, but then you continue forward on the same old track of dull repetition, karmic garbage, and sluggish unawareness. My friends, the scripture invites us to look at the relationship the gardener had with the landowner, where he said, "Let me give this fig tree one more chance. Give me the opportunity to prune it, nurture it, fill it, bless it, nourish it. And then at the end of the next year, if it doesn't produce any fruit, do what you want with it." I believe we are at a place where we can reshape this thing we call church, where we can realign ourselves with the good news of God's unconditional love, with our mission, which is to claim our birthright, not just our sexual orientation, and be good with that, whatever that is. Claim our birthright that God called us and fashioned and formed us into all who we are called to be and do, and we can live into that. To grow in wisdom means we go deeper than anything we ever learned and wrap ourselves around that which is not transparent in this sacred text we call our Bible. To step into service. Don't you know now that's the hard one? Come on. Because most of the time we don't have time, right? How many of us are dictated by a schedule beyond our control? Beyond our control? Beyond our control? How many of us really have control around that schedule? I bet you we have enough control to carve out 15 minutes to get still, to get quiet, to notice the beauty around us we miss when we're busy. How many of you are driving down the road? Okay, you're in traffic, so you're not driving that fast. And this beautiful car pulls in front of you. In a second, you notice that beauty. Has that ever happened to you? Or maybe something in the car is beautiful. You're paying attention in a way you weren't. When I was in Northern California, up on a mountain, I was there for 6 days by myself. A few videos, because there was no television. So I paid attention to a world I might not have noticed. I was walking along the path the cows created. Not a lot of people up there, but there was a ranch, and this little narrow path, and I, because it's a big hills, it was a mountain, and it was a lot of hills. And I figured if the cows could walk it, I could walk it. And I happened to see a piece of bark that had fallen off of the tree and curled itself up on the ground. And I took a picture of it. Because that was beauty I would have missed if the television would have worked. Things capture our attention. We all fall prey to that invitation, that seductive opportunity. Here's what I will tell you in my time away. That fig tree is us. And the roots and the tree need some attention. And I was tempted to say, I'm too tired. I'm out of ideas. I don't know what to do next. I'm dot, dot, dot. But you know, there's a funny thing about this Lenten series that invites us to take on or give up something that will help us hear the Holy Spirit and be connected to God's love in a new way. And it was as if the Holy Spirit wrapped me and said, your work is not done. The work of this church is not done. My friends, we must wrap ourselves around the potential that we could go the way of extinction, or we could go the way of something new. I choose something new. I invite you to spend some time in this Lenten series and to grab hold of the tale of tenacity and let us look for what is possible. As we prune worship and stewardship and leadership and our mission, as we open ourselves up to realize church is not just for us. It's for the us that isn't here yet. It's for the us that will never come here. It's for us to grab hands with each other and say, we have everything we need to make a difference in the world. Together, we can touch hearts and lives. And it's going to take all of us, regardless of our sexual orientation or gender identity and expression, and because of our sexual orientation, gender identity and expression. Come on, folks. Will you join me? Will you grab hold of the tail of tenacity? Will you say, I will be a part of making this change? I will make the difference this community needs. I will say yes to what God is calling us to be and do. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for all of the ways in which you journey with us in those places that are private, exciting, painful, all of the mix of life's journey in the recesses of our minds, in our hearts and lives, and in our opportunities. Help us, O God, to realize your call on our life, that we not just stop with claiming our birthright, or growing in wisdom, or serving in gratitude, but that we get all of that allows us to share what we already know, your love, your good news, your grace, to a world dying to have the busyness of their lives interrupted, informed, and changed. Bless us, O God, as we continue this great work.